This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Amma ba'd. Just forgive me. Before I give out anything, just so you know, I always want to make sure, and sometimes it happens where, you know, we give something out and I notice these candies, you know, I never do it, but I just wanted to double check the ingredients on something before I give it out to anyone. Alhamdulillah, they're halal. Okay, don't worry about it. Inshallah ta'ala. They're just regular candies, but usually when you look at candies that have soft filling inside of them, even Halls or any gum, like sometimes you get gum, Trident, etc., you know, that have like a jelly inside of them, you should be reading the ingredients, inshaAllah ta'ala. So just to be on the safe side, I wanted to double check that. Alhamdulillah. We will today, inshaAllah ta'ala, forgive me for my attire and so on. I'm going to be flying throughout the night to the western part of Canada, inshaAllah. I have a flight at 10:55. Which I will catch, inshaAllah ta'ala. You know, benefits of flying a lot, you know when you can go in and when you can't go in. So today's topic, inshaAllah, if we can get our youth in here, that would be great. You know, let's try and calm them down a little bit, get them inside. And we're going to touch upon salam. And I briefly spoke about this last week, right? I mentioned how when I went to Medina, I noticed how the size of Masjid al-Nabawi, and was contemplating over how the Masjid itself was the size of how the entire city was back then at that time. But there's another aspect that I touched upon, and that was salam. And I mentioned when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, you know, they would see a tree or something and they'd be walking, and if they walked around it, when they reached the other side of the tree, just simply going around the tree, they would give salam to each other, right? That was something that they would renew and refresh among them. And when you think of it, subhanAllah, sometimes we don't think of salam or saying assalamu alaykum, for those of you that are wondering. We don't really think of it as something that's really important. Why? Because, for example, I want you to give me salam. So, say salam to me. What? Okay, you. 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 Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Yeah, what about you? Yeah, you, and you, yeah. Yeah. You. And next to you. You. Hey, hey, quickly. Does anyone say assalamu alaikum? Right? Or do you ever hear that? You walk into your house, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, right? It just rolls off our tongue. And usually I know now, mashallah, everyone's saying, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Like everyone studied Arabic for 20 years, right? They're all like, assalamu alaikum, right? Bringing out the ayn and everything, subhanAllah. No, most of us, when we walk into our home or we go visit someone, when we say salam, we usually just say, assalamu alaikum. But when we say salam, we have to truly understand what it is that we're doing. We are saying, assalam. Who is assalam? Who is as-salam? Before we talk about the word salam, who is as-salam? Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salam. And this is why when we name a child, we don't just name the child as-salam. Right? We don't just say as-salam. We say this is abdus-salam. Right? Like Abdul Rahman and Abdul Quddus and Abdullah. We don't name a child Allah. We say Abdullah. And Abdul Quddus, right? The servant of Allah, the servant of Al Quddus, the servant of Ar Rahman, the servant of As Salam. And here we see, subhanAllah, that when we say As Salamu Alaykum, many a time we just rush through it. And this was something that the mushrikun, those that disbelieved and those that wished for the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would intentionally say salam the way that it naturally flows off the tongues of many Muslims. They would intentionally say things like assalam alaikum, right? Assalam alaikum. What is that? That comes from the word hi? No, not hi. What else? Anyone here know? Yes. Poison, very good. They would wish for poison or death or hardship or illness to be upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't want that, right? We don't want that for each other. When I give salam to someone, I don't say salam because I want hardship upon them, so I say salam alaikum. No. we remove that from our hearts, and that's another aspect of salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he comes to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he says, by the one in whose hand is my soul. Who is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want all the candies today, right? You brought the candies, you want all the candies back. You're going to answer all the questions so you can get all the candies back. Alhamdulillah. No. So subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, by the one in whose hand is my soul. Now he's referring to his soul being in the control of who? Being in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, by the one in whose hand is my soul. Taking an oath. It's like saying, wallahi, right? He says, you will not enter paradise until you believe. Right? Only the believers will enter paradise. And we know this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who chooses. We don't say, oh, this person's a believer, that person's not a believer, they will go to paradise, they will not go to paradise. We don't even get into that. Even if a person lived their life entirely upon iman, we still, after their death, we make dua, oh Allah, accept them into paradise. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why is it that when a relative passes away, or someone we know passes away, we make dua, oh Allah, accept them into paradise? Shouldn't we think automatically this person will enter paradise? Very good. So the decision is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? The decision's not with us. Decision is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though we saw someone our entire life, and their entire life living as a Muslim, we don't know how they're going to die. We don't know the condition of their heart. Just about an hour ago, subhanAllah, a friend of mine from Singapore, on the other side of the world, he sends me a voice message, right? And I listen to the message, and he's saying how, you know, one of their grandparents is in the hospital. You know, his relative's grandparent is in the hospital, and he's over 80 years old. And even though they're Muslim, he never lived a life of Islam, and had hatred for Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. Right? And so now, he's been diagnosed with a type of cancer, he's over 80 years old, and he's telling people, you know, khalas, my time is done. Like, I have cancer, I'm over 80 years old, like, what are the chances of me surviving? Even if I didn't have cancer, I'm not really going to survive much longer anyways. And so, this brother, he messages me and he asks me, he says, what... Yeah. Oh, I don't know, I didn't do that. That's something special coming from that table. You can go over there and ask that brother over there under the table. He'll tell you, inshallah. Okay? And so this brother, he messages me and he asks me, he says, you know, what should I tell this grandfather of ours? What should I do when I go see him? Like, he's in the hospital, he's probably going to die very soon, especially if they start treatment on him because it's, you know, one of the last stages of cancer, or, you know, the tumor. And he's like, he's probably not going to last very long. So subhanAllah, I don't want to tell you what I told him in response, but the example there that we learn is exactly what we were talking about. That we don't know how a person is inside of them. We don't know if they're going to repent and turn back to Allah in their last moments. We might have seen them their entire life, or for 20 or 30 years, hating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ We don't wish that anyone would hate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But we might see that this is the type of behavior that they have. But in their last moments, in their hospital bed maybe, they turn to Allah and repent because they're thinking. And this is one of the things that I mentioned to him. Just plant a seed in his mind so that he thinks. While he's there, he's thinking of his life. Are you content with everything you did? Are you content with, you know, is there anything that you wished that you would have done? And you're sitting there and you're laying in this hospital bed thinking to yourself, Ya Allah, there's so many things I could have done, I should have done, I would have done, but now I have no time. And so we see here, my brothers and sisters, the importance of salam. When we give salam to each other, it removes hatred within us. And you'll notice sometimes you come to the masjid and there's people that you see all the time. But deep down inside, maybe because of something they said, yeah, it doesn't sit well with you, right? You bring, maybe right now, I'll use me as an example. Maybe right now we're sitting here. And some people, maybe they brought their families here because the children know they get candy afterwards. Right? But their children are like, ah, we don't like Dawood. Yeah, he's just boring. He always says the same things. Right? Or maybe the parents are like, yeah, you know, we wouldn't come to the masjid and attend this halaqah. We'd rather go somewhere else, but our children like to come because it's fun, it's happy, you know, they get to play basketball afterwards, whatever the case is. And so maybe the parents themselves, they have something inside of them. Remove it. Remove it, subhanAllah. And this is what I say. I will tell you from myself first, before I mention anything to anyone else. If there's anything inside of you that bothers you from what I say or what we teach, come and tell me. Come and tell me. There's many brothers that do that. Many sisters do it as well. Sometimes they just, you know, send an email afterwards and say, you know, this, you said this. It hurt our feelings. You know, we feel a lot of the time that we're not really being recognized. Alhamdulillah. So we point that out. We try to bring it out into our lectures. We try to make it a reality. And what the Prophet ﷺ says here, continuing the hadith, he says, you will not enter paradise unless you're a believer, right? Only the believers will enter paradise. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he says, and you will not fully believe until you love one another. You will not fully believe until you love one another. Now how do we love each other? This is where the Prophet ﷺ catches our attention. He says, أَفَأَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ Should I direct you? Should I show you something? That if you were to do it, it's going to bring love between you. It's going to bring love in your hearts. You know, subhanAllah, someone might feel something inside of them. Maybe two boys, they were playing basketball last week. Both of them got into a scrimmage. I don't know. I have no idea, I wasn't here. So if that really happened last week, Allahu A'lam, right? I have no idea. I was not here. I didn't watch you playing basketball. I have no idea. This is just an example. So if anyone thinks I'm talking about them, I have no idea, no clue what happened last week during basketball, okay? Just as an example. Maybe two of you were playing basketball last week, right? Amongst the 20 or 30 people that were playing ball. And as you're playing, you're going up to maybe take a layup, someone hits you really hard. And you get very upset. You think to yourself, khalas, like brother, if you really wanted to stop the ball, block the ball, do something else. Why do you have to hurt me? Why did you physically have to hurt me? You know, and sometimes people, they get really interesting when they're playing ball. They trip each other, you know, they push each other, they nudge each other in areas where they know it's going to hurt, like in the rib cage and so on and so forth. Someone might feel inside of themselves, you know what, I'm going to come play basketball, but if that brother is there, I'm not going to play. And they might even tell their parents, you know, if I see Muhammad there, if I see, you know, Abdullah there, I'm not going to play. Why? Because, you know, there's something between the two of them. And here the Prophet ﷺ, he says, shall I direct you or show you something that if you do it, it's going to bring love between you? Now we're all listening, right? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they're wondering, what is this thing? What is this thing? If we do it, it's going to bring love between us. And if we do it, it's going to complete our iman. It's going to complete our belief. And if we have that complete belief, then we'll be people of paradise as well. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ So simple, so easy, so beautiful, subhanAllah. Spread salam to each other. Give salam to the person next to you. You know, today, I mentioned this in Jum'ah today. Sometimes you come into the masjid for Jum'ah before the khutbah starts, and you see people sitting in the rows, right? Because they came early, because they finished work, you know, they have lunch early, they came, sat early, alhamdulillah. And how many times do we go for Jum'ah? Or how many times do we come for the halaqah? And we sit next to each other all the time, and we don't even give salam to each other, right? Like now we've been sitting. And I'm pretty sure I felt it myself. You know, we were setting up over there. We were talking about the computer. And I had a feeling, you know, anyone hears us saying, you know, we're talking about the Dell computer and how I used one when I was doing my master's. People are thinking, you know, we're sitting here waiting for you to start. What are you doing? Talking about computers. We came here for a halaqah. We didn't come here to wait for you to talk about computers. Right? Just in my mind, I thought that. What if someone is thinking that? We should move on. This is what I was telling the brothers. We should start. Even if the projector is not working, start with the announcement. Mention what you have to say. Why? Because it might stir something in the hearts of another person. But you notice, subhanAllah, if we come, imagine that's happening, and someone comes to the table and says, Salaamu Alaikum. How are you today? How is everyone? Your brother's okay? Everything good? How's the Dell computer? Right? I heard you guys talking about the Dell computer. It's not working? What's going on? Right? What's the deal? And subhanAllah, when we give salam, immediately it breaks the ice. Instead of someone holding those feelings, yes. If you help someone, you get a good deed, very good, alhamdulillah. And your shirt says, what does it say? Uber is awesome. I came to the masjid with Uber today. Alhamdulillah. I didn't have a ride. I brought my suitcase. I came with Uber. Alhamdulillah. And so we see, subhanAllah, when we have ill feelings inside of us, sometimes we feel, I don't know what to tell that brother. I don't know what to tell that sister. Just forget about it. And you might go home and talk to your spouse and talk to your children, talk to your family and say, you know, I saw this happen. This brother came in, you know, he was praying next to me. And every time, you know, I'm trying to focus on my salah. And, you know, Brother Hudhaifa is reciting Quran so beautiful, subhanAllah. And you're listening to his recitation and it's so beautiful. You know, really, really nice, interesting. You just want to listen to it. You want to pay attention in salah. And as you're paying attention, you're focusing on his recitation, subhanAllah, and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran being recited. This brother, you know, he's digging his foot into your foot. You know, he's like stepping on your toe, stepping on your pinky toe. And you're thinking to yourself, like, you move your foot away. And this brother, because you move your foot away, he moves his foot over again. And then you move your foot again, and he gets upset. He says, oh, now I'm going to teach this brother a lesson. I'm going to pin his foot to the ground, he can't move it. And he just steps on your foot really hard. You know, subhanAllah. Then you get these feelings inside of you. Ah, what's wrong with this brother? You finish your salah and, you know, you see it all the time. You turn around. We see it. As an imam, sometimes you finish salah and you turn around. And you see people are upset after salah. And you wonder to yourself, what are they upset about? We just finished praying salah. We just finished praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We left everything. We said, Allahu Akbar. We removed everything. Why is it that these people, their faces look really upset and they're sitting there and they're like, you know, they're looking out the corner of their eye at the person next to them. You know, they're looking at them. And you know something happened. You know something happened. Why not, after that happens or anything, Salaamu Alaikum. Kayf halak? How are you? How's everything? You okay? You're strong, mashallah. What do you mean, brother? What do you mean I'm strong? You say I eat too much, right? No, you're strong, mashallah. You know, I was praying my salah, subhanallah. I was focusing, I was in my zone. And then I felt something heavy on my foot, like wahi was coming down. Right? And he says, oh brother, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was distracting you in salah. He says, you know, he tells you a hadith or two, and you maybe exchange a hadith with him back and forth, but in a nice way. In a nice way, in a method shown to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What began that conversation? As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We began by giving salam. And you see, subhanAllah, salam itself, it's not just something that brings peace, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of peace. It brings peace to the heart and to the mind as well. It removes it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of safety. He's the owner of that peace. So when you say salam to someone, you give them salam by saying as-salamu alaykum, not just salam. Not like in the text message, right? When someone says capital A, small O, capital A. What's that? It's like, awa, right? Like, what are they saying to me? Awa. Like, what language is this? I understand most people nowadays have free text messages. And if you didn't know, you can swipe. You don't even need to lift your finger or use your thumbs. Swipe, assalamu alaykum. Or the least thing is say salam. Just say salam, S-A-L-A-A-M. Or if you want to save pressing an A, just put one A, right? S-A-L-A-M, right? But say salam. Send that peace. Make that person feel there's some goodness coming from you. It's not just like AOA, like I have no time for this. No, you have loads of time for it. Say assalamu alaykum to the person. Wa alaykum assalam. You have free text messages. Or you're using WhatsApp. Well, it's not charging you anything, subhanAllah. Right? We should be people that love the salam. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as our youth tell us, is as-salam. Not only that, it removes hard feelings within us. Not only that, subhanAllah, it brings us closer and it makes us feel as though we're a family. We're a family of the people who are going to paradise together. And you know, we heard about, you know, what Brother Nabil was mentioning, subhanAllah, talking about things, and he made a mistake one or two times on the dates because he was thinking of the May election, you know, within the party, and he mentioned May a few times. He's referring to March, right? The end of March, March 28, inshaAllah ta'ala. You know, subhanAllah, he's mentioning a few things. What we see there, subhanAllah, I was thinking, he's asking us to come together as a family. He's asking us to come together as a family, to be Muslims, to be united, to stand together, to try and change something that's bad to something that's good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He talks about al-amru bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. Right? And I intentionally did this when I mentioned it to the sisters. الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Not because you need to be the only ones that do the good. But sometimes when we say الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ and we end here, the sisters say, oh, you're saying we're munkar? We're evil, we're bad, there's something wrong with us? Because sisters, subhanAllah, they are very soft, very, you know, gentle in their emotions, subhanAllah. And this is why we, when we speak, we need to be wise. We need to understand. And this is why I say, Al-Amru bil Ma'ruf. Allah loves Al-Amr. Why? You'll see. I'll show it to you, insha'Allah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu, and I'm not saying the brothers are bad. No, don't get me wrong, right? It's just something that brings us happiness, insha'Allah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Amru bil Ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. To encourage good. Encourage the spread of good. Do something that's good. Promote goodness. And stop evil. Stop things that are bad. Stop things that are negative. Now when the Prophet ﷺ also mentions this, you'll notice that he mentions it in the same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it. Al-amru bil-ma'roof wa-nahi anil munkar. To do good and then to stop evils. An important aspect of our deen is to encourage goodness. When you see someone do something wrong and you give them salam to correct their mistake, first of all think, have I made this mistake? Is there a problem with me? Is there something in me that I should be changing? Second step, after thinking that, now that I'm going to correct this person's mistake, before I stop their evil, let me encourage something good that they're doing. So we take an example. We're in the masjid, and there's a basketball court, right? And you see youth playing basketball. Maybe. One of them has shorts on, right? He was playing before Salah. And, you know, he has shorts on. And when he comes in to pray, he, you know, Salah started, so he came in to pray. And you see when he's in sujood, his knees are exposed. Okay? And you see him, and you go up to him after Salah. Say, what are you doing? Don't you know this is haram? Get out, right? We just tell them, get out, right? I'm just thinking how it was for me when I was a child. Right? And subhanAllah, we immediately tell them something bad. Get out. Don't you know you're not supposed to be, your awrah is exposed, right? Your knees, your thigh is showing. And there's difference of opinion on this as well. But we all know that the majority will say that the knee is included in the awrah. And so subhanAllah, what positivity can we get out of that? Let's rewind. Take that same example. Okay? Same example, youth, you're playing basketball. Hey, in the corner over there, paying attention to their phone. Okay? You're playing basketball, okay? And you see someone else playing with you and they're wearing those shorts. And they come in to pray salah afterwards, right? After salah is done, they're sitting down doing their adhkar. And it's bothering you that their shorts are short. You're like, why are you wearing soccer shorts while playing basketball, right? What goodness can you promote before stopping that evil? What goodness can you promote before stopping the evil? Inside of you, within you, or externally, yes. Okay, you say salamu alaykum, very good. What else? Okay, you might think, you know what, there was a point in time in my life where I made the exact same mistake. Very good, absolutely great, yes. Sorry? Compliment him. About what? Say, I like the color of your shorts? Or he might think something's like, what are you talking about, man? You want to buy them off of me or something? What? Okay, you might say, yo, those are super cool shorts, man. Those are like Nike. Where'd you get those? You get them on sale or something? Like, I want a pair of those, right? You might say something like that. But what else? What else do you notice? Especially for the uncles, the adults. Yeah. Someone here wants to say something? Someone here is throwing things back and forth. What? Is that a question being thrown forward? Or? Socks. Hiya. What about the adults? When the adults see something, what would they say? Oh, hold on. We'll take a waste first. Sorry? Compliment his game. Yo man, I saw you playing before. MashaAllah. You can almost dunk. Very good. Alhamdulillah. Yes.
When he left the game, he came to join
Exactly. Very good. That should be the first thing that we focus on. This is a youth who could be out on the streets, who could be smoking or drinking or doing drugs or clubbing or chilling with girls or whatever, you know, if he's a boy, and so on and so forth. So many things that he could have been doing that were wrong. But subhanAllah, he's in the masjid. And this is good because we see all the youth here, we congratulate you. We congratulate you for being in the masjid on a Friday night when you maybe want to play video games. Maybe you just want to chill and visit family and friends and so on and so forth. But you're here, you're in the masjid, alhamdulillah, that's a great thing. Just a second, inshallah. Uber. Okay? So subhanAllah, the first thing that we think, especially as an adult, we think, alhamdulillah, this youth, he's in the masjid. And not only is he in the masjid, he's praying with us. He's praying with us, alhamdulillah. That's a great thing. Because how many youth are living in Oakville? They're not here. How many youth didn't pray with us? Many. And so subhanAllah, that's a great thing first, right? To identify that. And then you begin, you know, maybe getting to know this person, becoming their friend, you know, breaking the ice, not by correcting the mistake. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-amru bil-ma'roof, encouraging good first. And He mentions that first because that's more important. And then النهي عن المنكر. Then stop the evils that you see. And so there's emphasis put on encouraging good in our deen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to continue to spread salam and to spread goodness and to open our hearts to one another. Ameen. Ameen. Right? And lastly, my brothers and sisters, I wanted to do one thing. It's more a practical thing, inshaAllah ta'ala, before I leave. Right? And I'm going to have to excuse myself today. No questions, please. I literally will stop, put the mic down, close that. You brothers will put everything away. I'm going to grab my jacket and go out into the car, inshaAllah ta'ala, okay? Because I need to catch this flight. But what I am going to do first is a practical thing. For all the youth in particular. Every single one of us is going to say, Assalamu alaikum. But before we do that, we're going to learn the fiqh of salam. And then when we give salam and we say salamu alaykum, we all get a candy, inshaAllah ta'ala. Okay? But first, the fiqh of salam. Very easy. When someone says assalamu alaykum to you, what do you say back to them? Wa alaykum assalam. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, to return that salam, return their greeting with something that's equal to it or better. So if I say, Assalamu alaikum, what do you say back to me? Equal, equal. What do you say back to me? Assalamu alaikum. Wrong. You say, Wa alaikum assalam. Okay? Equal. When I say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, what do you say? Equal. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi. Okay? When I say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and you respond with something equal to it, what do you say? Good. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But now, if someone just says, Assalamu alaykum, you can respond with something better than that. You don't have to just equal it. Right? You don't have to match it. You can do something better. And the Prophet ﷺ teaches us. You could say, Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Or you could say, Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Even more. And here we see, subhanAllah, in a narration that when you say, Wa alaykum assalam, or you say, Salamu alaykum, you get 10 rewards, 10 hasanat. You say, Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, you get 20. You say, Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you get 30. And when you respond that way, you get more as well. And so subhanAllah, it's important for us to say salam. So, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Very good, alhamdulillah. See, I told you we were all going to say salam and you all get a candy, inshaAllah ta'ala. I'll leave it with one of the brothers who's going to make sure that the youth get it first and then the adults can get it afterwards, inshaAllah. And please, whoever's giving these candies out, who's going to take responsibility to give out these candies. You want to do it, inshaAllah? Ta'ala. So you do it, but prioritize the sisters first. Okay, so give to the sisters. Maybe one of the sisters can come and get a handful and distribute it to the other sisters, inshaAllah, one of the smaller girls. And then you can give it out. All the boys, you just line up in a row. Okay, you just line up. I know a lot of you want to do the kahoot, but I didn't plan on doing a kahoot today, inshallah ta'ala. You need to put your phone away. You're watching basketball in my halaqa. Subhanallah. Right? So one to each person. And they need to make a straight line and prioritize the girls first, inshallah ta'ala. So give her a handful to give to the other sisters. Oh, that's a big handful, mashallah. There you go.